And now the 1-2. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Wesneski strikes out. Done. And the Brewers are done.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Good Saturday morning to you, David Haugh, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock. That was a strikeout from May 3rd from our next guest, Hayden Wesneski, who joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Good morning, Hayden. How are you?
Not so bad. How's it going?
We're doing well. Thank you for joining us. You know, you got a day game today in Pittsburgh, 2:30, right here on The Score. Hayden, you have been somebody who have done, you've done everything the Cubs have asked of you this season. You have ridden the shuttle back and forth to Des Moines a couple times, and now you're here with the Cubs. How would you describe your whirlwind first month and a half or so?
Oh, man, it's only been a month and a half. it's been good. You take your chances where you get them, and I've tried to make the most of my opportunities, you know, and moving. I knew coming into this year that this is kind of how it was going to go, and you kind of just prepare for it.
You know, Hayden, right off the bat, I want to ask you about Craig Counsell and the way that I've viewed him. I've known Craig for a long time as a player and then as a manager as well, but on a daily basis, you know, I get to see how he doesn't overreact to wins or losses. I wonder if that's the case for you as a player and what kind of impact that has on you to just make it steady as you go and, deal with both of those without worrying about things.
No, yeah, there's no freak out with him. There's no heart. He doesn't hardly have a heartbeat. He's always watching things and he's very calm about everything. And it gives you a confidence that he's, especially as a young guy, it's one of those things where he gives you confidence just to be yourself. And that's all this game asks of you. Right. And he doesn't overreact to anything. Right. And he does have a presence about him to where, you need to be disciplined about it. But there's also a fun part of it where it's like, hey, go play baseball and enjoy this game.
So, Hayden, you know the stats. The Cubs starting pitching has been outstanding. There's all kinds of numbers you could point to. And then the bullpen maybe hasn't been as consistent and has been struggling a little bit. And you know how much that needs to improve. I guess the biggest question would be, which are you, starter or reliever? Do you consider yourself part of the rotation, or are you the guy that's going to help solve the bullpen issue moving forward?
Man, I don't know. I have no clue. I'm at this point now where I'm kind of just whatever they need, you know, and we have a lot of starting pitching, and the starting pitching has been really good. But we have a lot of good bullpen guys, bullpen arms that, like Adbert's not being himself. He's fine. He's getting into a groove now, but he hasn't been himself, and it's fine. He would tell you that himself, but man, I'm whatever they need, right? We're trying to win games and winning's a lot more fun than losing. And I want to be a part of that. So, whatever really the Cubs need. If that means I go to the bullpen, it's in the bullpen. If that means I'm starting, it kind of is what it is. I know that Kyle's coming off the IL soon, and there's a bunch of guys that a lot of stuff's going on right now. So, whatever they need, really. I know that's a bad answer, but that's what I got for you.
You had a fascinating answer to us about preparation for the season last week when you were talking about after your start. Can you talk a little bit about for our audience the fact that you basically said, "Hey, my training in the off season, my preparation, I wasn't ready for 2024."
Yeah, I just, my body was ready. Right, like I felt like the first 2 months I did a really good job of working out, getting my body in shape, and keeping it and getting ready for the season, but I would say my bullpen's coming into the year. I didn't really face live hitters coming into spring training. I faced them like once or twice. I didn't really throwing hard. I was being very protective of myself, and at some point you got to let it go. And I just think that on the baseball side, I was not ready coming into spring training. My body felt good. It's just I could have done better with the work like that, and so. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard looking back on it. I'm just being real with myself that I could have done better, and I didn't give myself really a chance in spring training, and even though the Cubs did, you know. And so I'm looking back on it. I'm upset. I know there's little things I can adjust, and that's an easy fix going forward.
We're talking with Cubs right-hander Hayden Wesneski here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hayden, everybody knows who has watched you ascend and contribute to the Cubs the last couple of years, how effective your sweeper can be, how that is your go-to pitch. You've got a sinker, you got a cutter, you got a slider, you've got an arsenal of pitches that are different. I just wonder this. If you were called upon to be part of the solution at the back end of the bullpen, the last six outs, if you will, does that change your approach, the way you come at hitters? Do you have to change your approach if you are in a high leverage situation as a reliever as opposed to starting a game?
Oh, 100%. Something that I've noticed going back and forth, especially, is that hitters get more aggressive as the game goes on. And that may not be true for everybody, but that's a general statement. That like more the guys throughout a game, they get more aggressive. And when you come in later in the game, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth inning, they're more likely to swing just because they've seen pitches already. They're kind of timed up. They're warmed up. They've been moving around. Like, it's just like they're more amped or ready to swing. And so it does – there is a little bit of a different pitch selection when it comes to coming in as a reliever versus starting. And that the sweeper may get used more, like, or it's just – it's one of those things where – yes, it does play a part, just because guys are more aggressive in the later innings.
My favorite Cub pitcher start of the year was last night. And people will say, Levine, what are you, nuts? That was it was one of the more difficult starts for Javier Assad. It was tough for the team. And, Hayden, what I mean by that, of course, is just watching – Javier Assad, with not his best stuff, with not the best defense behind him, just go out there and continue to be Javier Assad and fight through it and only give up one run in difficult circumstances. To me, that's so impressive. I wonder what your thoughts are about him and the standard that he and the other pitchers have set this year.
Man, I cannot agree more with what you're saying there. That start yesterday, I agree. Like, he obviously didn't have his best stuff. There's a rain delay. He's still on 5 days. That dude just, I can't explain how he does it, you know? And there was a lot of wonky stuff that happened yesterday. And he will tell you, he'll be the first one to say that he probably didn't pitch his best yesterday. But I agree with you. That dude, he competes. All he does is pitch well. Everywhere he's gone, he loves the big moment. You could see that in the WBC. And, man, that dude, I can't say a good enough word for him. He's helped me out. But, no, I agree. That start yesterday was very impressive. We'll see guys blow up with starts like that. But he still goes four and change. And he only gives up one earned run. It's like, the dude just does it, right? I don't know how to explain it. He just has it, and he always competes, right? He got himself out. The only reason why he got pulled was because of pitch count, not because he pitched bad, you know? So,
Hayden,
I was impressed as well.
He's been unbelievable with his stuff, and Assad has been kind of one of the more underrated pitchers in the National League, not just on your staff. And I just want
to agree more.
Professional athletes are such – slaves to ritual. You love the routine and you want to get prepared in a certain way, especially starting pitchers. I guess that begs the question, as you sit there, waiting in Pittsburgh, do you know when your next start is? How do you stay prepared not knowing that? You mentioned Kyle Hendricks possibly coming back from the IL. We know Jameson Taillon is struggling with the back situation. There's a lot of uncertainty surrounding, who goes when. Still TBD is tomorrow's starter. How do you deal with that uncertainty?
Man, I'm telling you right now, last year really helped out with this. And Ben Brown's kind of going through this right now where he's not sure what's going on. He hadn't pitched in 7 days, and he throws really well yesterday. And, man, it's one of those things where I don't know. You kind of just have a routine of starting, and you act like you're going to start on Tuesday, and then you kind of just adjust from there, right? And so I'm not exactly sure what to do right sometimes, but I have a routine when I start, and I have a routine when I'm in the bullpen. And right now we're in the starting routine, and as soon as they need me to flip over to the bullpen, I flip to that switch and I go to that routine, right? And that's just kind of how I manage it, where it's like just make it two different routines. And whenever you're on one, you use that one, and when you're on the other, you use the other.
If I was a major league pitcher going to be a bullpen guy, and I would say, when I grow up, I want to be Hector Neris, okay? Because Hector Neris has thrown 3 years in a row 70 games. He's thrown 700 games in his career, and he goes out there and he competes every time, no matter where Craig Counsell puts him, without sweating, okay? He gets in rough situations all the time, and he pitches out of it like there's nothing going on. He's just so relaxed when he's out there. I wonder what you gain from watching a guy like him and having him as a teammate.
So for him as a teammate, let's start with that. That dude is smiling always. He's keeping it light. He has an energy about him that it's unmatched by many, right? And I can't give him enough compliments on what a great teammate is. He's a smart pitcher, right? He doesn't throw 100, so it's not his stuff is. It's not the blow-away stuff. He's pitched, right? And we call him Heart Attack Hector because he – you're right. He pitches – he loves a good show. And there's – he's given me some tips on how to attack hitters late in games, especially because, like you said, he goes out there every time we need him, and he does whatever Craig needs him to do. It's just admirable to watch because, I mean, if someone that's pitched for so long, he can do whatever you need, and it's just incredible to watch him pitch and work. You know, it's just really cool to see somebody that's done it for so long to continue to do it at such a consistent rate because this game is so hard, and he makes it look hard, but he does it easy.
Hayden, we'll let you go, but just before we do, you had a tough matchup the other day against Dylan Cease, who was dealing, struck out 12. Last night, you see Jared Jones, who's throwing BBs, and he got hit, and you guys beat him, and that was good. And today, you get a chance to see Paul Skenes, the rookie sensation, gets his first major league start, and he's going to hit 100 at some point in time, you know. What do you make of all this velocity coming at you? And from a pitching perspective, what do you appreciate the most about that?
I appreciate how good the game's getting, right? Baseball is at its best it's ever been. The talent is incredible. The hitting, they can hit pitches that move ridiculous, right? It's the pitching, the things we can do as pitchers is incredible. And hitters are matching it, and they're keeping up with it. And it's just, you just at some point you think that the game's going to be 0-1. Every game is going to be a low-scoring game, but it's just, that's not the case. The high velocity stuff, I think it's because training has gotten so good. We know how to train velocity. We know how to train pitching. When someone's not moving right, they can tweak it a little bit to make them move right. It's just I think the training has just got really well, or like really good, especially with like places like driveline tread, DST. Like there's just places that just know how to manufacture velo in pitching.
Hayden, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck in your next appearance, whether it's as a starter or as a reliever, wherever you are, and really appreciate your time this morning.
And we have to get a T-shirt for Hector, right? With something on there.
Heart attack Hector.
The rumors have been floating about that one, too.
Well, you know, if he gets a Heart Attack Hector T-shirt, do you still have your Wiz Nasty T-shirt?
I'm still working on that. We're still in the process of it. I do want to make one though, and I got to give Belly one first because he's the one giving me the hardest time about it.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us. And above all, it's so much fun getting to know you, your teammates, and how much fun that you guys have in between all the hard work.
Thanks, Hayden.
Hey, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Hayden Wesneski, the right-hander in the Cubs starting rotation.
As Ozzie always says, fun is winning, winning is fun.
He's having fun. And he should. He's had a very eventful start to this season. Tough matchup the other day. Dylan, he was the opposing pitcher to Dylan Cease, and he pitched very well. And he's been very poised, Bruce. I think you can hear he has a very cerebral approach to every outing.
I think one of the shows over the next week or two we have to talk about is Tommy Harvey becoming one of the very best pitching coaches in baseball.
Oh, I like that conversation. You know, Tommy Harvey, Joe Maddon era, David Ross, still hung around with Craig Counsell.
Right.
Smart, bright guy. We talk to him every second Wednesday on the Mullin Haw Show, and he has definitely established himself, I think, as one of those guys.
Like you said, third manager.
Yeah, third manager. And, you know, those guys, you think back to Larry Rothschild, who was a pitching coach that survived a lot of different regime changes. And why was that the case? Because he relates to players very well. He's an easy guy to get along with, and he brings a lot to the table in terms of every conversation about what's wrong with this guy or how do we get him right.
I think I hear in the background someone warming up, and I think, well, look out. Chin Music is next.
Chin Music, our favorite game to play, and our segment will come when we get back here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
High and inside, Chin Music, a little Chin Music, take that hitter for a ride.
It's time for some Chin Music.
Hey, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
Last year, I think, I still think that in the minds of a lot of people, we had a really good chance to compete. I think we felt like we had a good chance to compete, and we just didn't put together. We had a really bad year, and it, you know, obviously kind of led to the need to kind of redo everything.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Hall, Bruce Levine playing a little Chin Music there. That was the voice of Dylan Cease talking about last year, Bruce. You were there. You provided some well-needed context, much-needed context, earlier in the week. Dylan Cease got a lot of attention for the comment about how last year was as miserable as everyone, you know, knew that it was,
right,
acknowledging what everybody kind of sensed. But how did you interpret what Dylan Cease said and what he might have meant?
Just that alone. I don't think he disliked ever his experience playing for the White Sox, the front office, the fan base. I think he really liked a lot. He has always made it very simple, okay? Not too high, not too low, not too upset, and certainly not controversial. So from that perspective, anything that was written or talked about that said he was upset with the White Sox or that he was, you know, it just wasn't the case when he talked to us, okay? It was, you know, he was just voicing something that was pretty obvious. It was a bad year, and you know, they stunk, and you know,
he's a thoughtful guy.
Yeah, they moved on. But I don't think his experience of you know, he went on to talk about how he's still in contact with three or four of the players on the team. He texts them all the time, but that he's just a baseball player. He's out now. He's playing baseball for San Diego. I think in his mind, it's pretty much that simple.
And he was very good.
Oh, man.
Dominant the other day, seven innings.
That was the best pitch game I've seen all year.
12 strikeouts, gave up only two walks, one hit, and it made him 5-2 this year. And he is a guy that when he looks as dominant as he did against the Cubs, you wonder what kind of year he's going to put together. And if the Padres, who have the capability after the trade for a rise and they have the starting pitching and they have some pieces, if they could contend for a playoff spot, and if they do, if Dylan Cease is going to get some Cy Young consideration in the National League after 2 years ago finishing as a runner-up in the American League.
They happen to be playing the same division as the Dodgers. That's their misfortune. I think they're potentially one of the wild card teams out there. The Dodgers are just, you know, what they lose for the first time in eight games yesterday. When they lose, it's an upset.
Not fair.
They're too loaded. Again, Ohtani, with all the problems he have, with changing from team to team, living up to $700 million, he's still the best player in baseball.
He's still the best player in baseball.
Yeah.
Imagine how much money his interpreter could have made this year betting on the Dodgers. They win all the time. I mean, they win all the time. So Wednesday was ex-Sox pitcher day. Dylan Cease had 12 strikeouts on the same day that Chris Sale for the Braves, who's off to a 5-1 start, by the way, had 10. Carlos Rodon, doing his part, 8 starts for the Yankees. He's 3-2. He struck out 7. And Bruce, need to mention this and add, Ronaldo Lopez, by the way, is 2-1 and 6 starts for the Braves with a 1.53 ERA. These ex-Sox pitchers are enjoying themselves as much as Dylan Cease is.
You have to be that mean, David.
No, that's not mean. It's so mean.
It's
wistful.
It's woulda, shoulda, coulda, right? I mean, am I surprised Chris Sale has resurfaced? Yes, I am. I'm totally shocked that he's back to being Chris Sale again. Lopez, nobody should be shocked about Lopez. He's always had one of the great arms in baseball. If you go back to 2018, 2019, the guy was thrown 180-plus innings both years. So all the White Sox, unfortunately, get credit for is reinventing him as a bullpen guy. And Atlanta goes back and says, you got a great arm. We've seen you start. You're a starting pitcher. And they're reaping the benefits of that. So, having regrets or remorse, you know, it's just like,
yeah, Sale and Rodon, those are two guys that were never going to be part of the next White Sox iteration of whatever this is becoming. I think with Lopez and Cease, it is fair to wonder, as you did kind of before the show, boy, you know, Dylan Cease, they got a lot in return. Drew Thorpe is having a good season at AA Birmingham. Irarte is still a guy who they believe in alongside Thorpe at Birmingham, which, by the way, we'll get to Birmingham in a second. They're off to a great start. But, Bruce, should the Sox – you're not questioning whether the Sox should have traded Dylan Cease, are you, or are you?
No. But at this point, if you're a Sox fan, you sit there and say, did we get enough? You know,
right.
And that proof in the pudding will be later down the road here. You're going to find out, as you talked about, Birmingham and all those studs that are coming up there. You know, the White Sox do have good young players that are coming along, and a lot of them are at AA right now. We got to see Ramos this week and, you know, some of the quality that he brings. So there will be a payout, hopefully, down the road. But, you know, it was the same thing with Sale. When Sale was traded, you know, the next year he helped the Boston Red Sox win the World Series, okay? After that, it was, okay, you got Mancata, you got Michael Kopech. You know, those were the residual parts of that. They've had, you know, up and down results throughout their career with the White Sox so far, still trying to find it as we move along here. But, again, it's the growing pains of another rebuild, you know, 5 years down the line. Very difficult.
His manager at AA Birmingham, Sergio Santos, the former closer for the Sox and a few other teams, but he was, I think, the closer, had 30 saves in 2011 for the White Sox. Ozzie Guillen was his manager. I'm sure Ozzie has thoughts on that. But I wonder if he is a guy who comes to the Sox organization, comes back to the organization for the first time this year, I think, as a manager in that role. They are playing very good baseball, even though they're coming off a 3-game losing streak right now. They are off to a good start down there with some pieces. And now the challenge becomes Chris Getz's. You heard Steve Stone say they're open for business. Ideally, to use a local comp, you want the, if you're a Sox fan, Chris Getz to pull off what Jed Hoyer pulled off when they had the great purge of 2021 and whenever that was, when Bryant and Baez and Rizzo went out the door and all those prospects came back. You're starting to see some of the results of that.
Yeah, their name Brown, Wesneski, a PCA, hopefully down the line here.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what you want the Sox to be able to do or put themselves in a position to do. So now if they're already ascended to maybe middle of the pack in terms of a minor league system, you'd like to see them top 10 and then top 5, like the Cubs, who are now one of the top 3 minor league systems in Major League Baseball. Why? Well, they've got some really quality people making those decisions, but they also have a lot of prospects that they obtained in dealing some of their stars.
Yeah, I mean, look, the first time around when the Cubs got good and back in 15 and 16, they made a lot of trades then, too. Guy by the name of Hendricks was acquired for guy by the name of Dempster along the way.
Whatever happened to him?
Which one?
the funny one.
Oh, Hendricks, he's on his
way professor
back.
And the clown jester.
Dempster, one of my favorite people in the whole world.
Good guy.
Just a terrific guy. And what a great show he does on MLB Network along with this Sierra Santos and Kevin Millar. I would say that the trading for, you know, there's a lot of growing pains for Chris Getz, but from the very beginning, and you and I talked to Chris over the last 3 or 4 years on a pretty often basis, at least 2 to 3 times a year.
He's easy to communicate with. He's an easy guy to interact with.
He's just a really...
He's a normal guy.
But he's a really smart guy, mm-hmm. and he's competent in the fact that he has a strong belief in what he does and his baseball acumen, but he doesn't have to make you feel like he's arrogant about it.
Mm-hmm. He does have a down-to-earth quality that serves him well in communicating his message. The problem has been is that the message has not been real clear, and I think now it's becoming more obvious. For instance, Steve Stone said nobody's untouchable. I agree with that, even if it's Luis Robert now. When Paul DeJong hits a home run, every time he does that, I think, all right, when are you going to flip Paul DeJong because Kosta Montgomery is going to be up here sooner rather than later?
Right.
And then what are you going to get in return for DeJong? Maybe not much. But, Bruce, you mentioned Ben Brown. You know who was traded for Ben Brown? David Robertson.
Right.
Kind of an expendable veteran who has come here. It was a good guy to have on your in your bullpen, but he was of most value to the Cubs as a trade piece.
Right.
And that's what the Sox have to look at every guy. Tommy Pham, Paul DeJong, anybody who does anything worth noting, you have to think, okay, when's he going?
Right. And that's where your major league scouts, people that are out there looking at other ball clubs, and you know, my friend Gene Watson, who's the head of player development, that's where they come in. That's the next most important thing coming on for the White Sox. When you make these trades, make sure you're getting really good talent. Make sure you're getting quality individuals who fit in. These are things that you have to work really hard on, that the White Sox will work hard on. But, you know, getting back to talking about Chris Getz, you know, the one thing, and he's learning a lot on the job. He wasn't aware of how many innings the starting pitching, I won't say he wasn't aware. He was surprised by the fact of how the starting innings for pitchers were going to be needed so quickly.
He underestimated that?
I think so. Okay. I don't know about underestimated. He just didn't realize, you know, with injury and attrition that he was going to have to go out and find more veterans to fill that role, you know, go out and sign Clevinger again, because, you know, the lack of innings by the starters was so startling at the beginning of the year that it caught everybody by surprise. And they were out of games, you know, within 3 or 4 innings many times, you know.
And Clevinger goes today back on the mound, and you hope he has a little bit more command than he did last time out, because why? You want to flip him as soon as possible.
Sure.
Was there a team out there that will take on his modest contract this year? It's a different scenario than it was a year ago when he was a little bit more expensive. Now, if the better he does, the more tradable he becomes.
They've been looking really smart with Crochet. Now, being able to stay smart with Crochet is their next great challenge. How much is too much? He's one of the best. Right now, if there was an All-Star game tomorrow, Crochet would be the representative for the White Sox.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Although Fetty's been pretty good.
Well, I'm just saying, Crochet's leading baseball in strikeouts right now. He's dominant. So the question is, how do you keep the inning load down when you know you want to rest him at different points? How do you keep him sharp? How do you keep him happy, motivated? How do you keep your team competitive? These are really hard questions to answer.
Before we break, Bruce, we talk about player development at the minor league level. I want to follow up on what I mentioned about Sergio Santos. First year in the organization as a manager, the Birmingham Barons are off to a 20-10 start. They're in first place in the Southern League North. Are they developing managers too? Is that part of this season's quest? Does that matter what Sergio Santos could be? Do you do any of those kind of projections?
Are you going to go by Stoney and say that all of a sudden, you know, Pedro's not the guy?
Look, I'm not a big believer in Pedro Grifol, no.
Okay. Well, look, I understand that because he hasn't had very much to manage or show you what he can do over the last 2 years. It's been awful. I'm willing to let him manage some games and actually have a back end of the bullpen to help him win some games as a manager. But, you know, if you're saying, are you trying to develop the next great coaches and managers in your system? Yeah, why wouldn't you? You want the best baseball people helping you develop. You want them to progress up the ladder to being coaches at the big league level, pitching coaches, bench coaches, managers in baseball. If he's the next great one, fine. If it's a guy by the name of Patrick Leland, who's also in their system, fine. I mean, that's the progression you want. You want the best young people in your organization. I think they have some of those guys. And I think if Pedro was sitting here right now, he'd say, we want the best too. If somebody's going to replace me down the road, good. You know, that means that myself and other people in our organization had an impact on them becoming better as well.
Speaking of the next great one, Paul Skeens is on the mound today for the Pirates, and the Cubs continue their series in Pittsburgh. Pre-game coverage right here, 2:30. Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer, Zach Zabin on the call. The first pitch, 3:05. You can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. Paul Skeens has made quite a buzz already before his first pitch as a major leaguer. We'll talk about that when we come back for our ninth inning on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I've been covering prospects for 36 years, and the three guys who are the best pitching prospects during that time are Paul Skeens, Steven Strasburg, and Mark Pryor. And it's hard to separate. Just the combination of just overpowering stuff, multiple pitches, but polish as well. You know, these guys weren't just reaching back and, you know, spraying the ball all over the place.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was Jim Callis of MLB Pipeline, friend of the Mullen Haugh Show, does a terrific job putting into context what we're about to see later today, Bruce. Justin Steele on the mound for the Cubs, 2:30 pregame right here on The Score, and Paul Skeens, who has had all of 34 innings of minor league preparation, makes his major league debut, the number one overall pick from in 2023. The Pirates fast-tracked him through the minors, and we see all that he has to offer today. Kind of exciting. It's a good day for baseball.
Yeah.
Might be a tough day for Cub hitters, but just get through seven. Let the kid go seven shutout, fine, but get to the bullpen and win 2-1.
That's it. That's what I was going to say. Hey, let him go out there and be a great pitcher in Major League Baseball. And, you know, we all love those good stories and great arms like this. Wish him nothing but luck. But, you know, against the home team, you know, let him lose that ball game somehow late. And, you know, Pittsburgh can do that. I just think that I worry about pitchers like Skeens. I worry about all the guys coming up to throw 100-plus miles an hour because, David, you have to show me the pitcher in Major League Baseball history outside of maybe Nolan Ryan. I just missed Walter Johnson back in
just
his
missed.
Day.
Just missed
him. Show me the guy that continues to compete throwing 100 miles an hour as a starting
it's
pitcher.
It's tough. It's really tough to find examples. Justin Verlander has lasted a long time as a power pitcher.
But the difference in Verlander, David, was at the beginning of the game for the first five or six innings, he would pitch. He would pitch. He'd throw all his pitches, his fastball. He would depend on his two-seamer more. He would throw 93, 94. Then he'd break out sixth, seventh, eighth inning. You heard what I just said. Sixth, seventh, eighth inning.
Yeah, what are those starting pitchers?
Right. Chris Sale was another one. Sixth, seventh, eighth inning, they'd break out 97, 98.
how many surgeries has he had? So
right, but I mean, that's the idea that these guys. It's so exciting. It's so much fun to watch. Velo is everything that we talk about in sports in baseball now. How hard the ball is hit out of the park. What miles per hour it was pitched. What was hit out. Sustainability is the thing that I like. And sustaining 100 miles an hour as a pitcher.
It's tough.
It's just not. It's not.
Well, last night started the Pirates. The 1-2 punch that they expect to lean on to bring them back to respectability. Jared Jones, he preceded Paul Skeens in the rotation, and he threw a 100-mile-per-hour fastball down the middle, and Cody Bellinger deposited it in the bleachers.
Sure.
So you can catch up with velocity, but you have to be the caliber of hitter that Cody Bellinger is to do that. Skeens is going to hit 100, maybe on his first pitch today.
Right.
104 of the fastest 105 pitches in minor league baseball this year have come out of his arm. He's going to come at you. He's going to attack, and he's going to be Strasburg-like.
He's got the other pitches, so that's what
he's got five pitches.
You know, guys like Jim Callis, who I trust a lot on all of his evaluations. You know, when he says he's seen him a lot and he can pitch, then he's got a chance, but. You can't continue. You cannot continue to pitch at 100, throw 100 pitches a game, and do that for 30 starts for a long period of time. I'm sorry, your arm. How much does an arm weigh? 8 pounds, 10 pounds, something like that.
How much do you lift, Bruce?
So, well, me like three. What are your 3 pounds?
What's your bicep density?
Okay, my bicep
depends on the arm, but I get your point. Yeah,
11 inches all the way around. Look. The arm is moving against the rest of the body. Mm-hmm. It's competing with the rest of the body. The pitchers, the players are stronger, better trained, better fed, everything except the arm cannot keep up with the rest of the body. It's pretty simple to watch all these arm injuries and everybody throws up their hands in the air and go, "Hey, he's greatly trained. He can throw the ball 100 miles an hour.
He's going to be the exception.
And they're not.
But the rule is these kids, young kids, are probably going to pay the price for throwing so hard so young.
It's a baseball problem. Baseball problem is, do you teach guys to pitch like the pitchers on the Cubs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who on the Cubs right now in the rotation throws 98, 99 miles an hour?
Ben Brown?
He's not in the rotation.
But he's not in the rotation. Right. You're right. It's a point well taken. And look at the guy who has been the best pitcher in baseball, Mr. 92-mile-per-hour splitter, Shota Imanaga.
Rising fastball that they can't catch up with at 91 or 92.
Because of location, because of craftiness, because he's a pitcher as much as he is a thrower.
You just said it. He's a pitcher. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Cubs have a bunch of pitchers on their team right now. It's a pleasure to watch. Everybody wants Velo. The Cubs would like Velo in their rotation too, but for me, I want sustainability. Guys that are going to go out there 30 times, be 14-12 with a 3.2 ERA. To me, that's if you got three or four of those guys, you're going to the playoffs. You're going to have a chance to win the World Series.
Speaking of Shota, I have to just say, the other night at the ballpark Tuesday, I was there as a fan, and that was so much fun. We had seats behind the dugout. You saw Shota coming off the mound. Animated, he got into it, he fed off the crowd, he was dealing, and I can't say that I have had that much fun at the ballpark as a fan in a very long time.
So he wrote a book, and I went up to him and his translator. I talked to them during the week, and I said, "How do I get that book?" And he goes, "Well, I can probably get you one." I said, "What about translated?" He said, "Whole other story, you know."
You got a lot of work to do, Bruce. Right. You got to learn Japanese.
I said,
in about
"How about
a week.
Can you do a book on tape?" He goes, "Yeah, but it'll be in Japanese."
What's the difference?
Yeah. He said, "Well, can I get it? Can you get it translated?" I said, "Because this book is, there's so much Greg Maddux in Imanaga that I want to get, be able to talk to him
comp.
And find out, you know, what his theory of pitching is, what it's all about." He's such an engaging individual. When he talks to you through the interpreter, but talks directly to you. This is one really smart guy.
He's not only been the best pitcher, he's been the best bargain.
When I went to talk to Yu Darvish this week, mm-hmm. old friend, you know, before the game, I did a pregame hit on the Cubs pregame about him. I said, you and Imanaga, you both impressed me as two of the smartest pitchers I've met. He goes, Imanaga, so much smarter than I am.
Hmm.
One of the smartest baseball minds I've ever met.
That's, and you see the way he pitches and approaches hitters, and you see the success rate. That makes that easier to believe. I was also surprised to hear that Darvish recommended both Suzuki and Imanaga, or the, recommended the Cubs to them and spoke very highly.
Chicago, Wrigley Field,
right.
Cubs organization. He still talks about it, even though he was traded, you know, at the height of his level. He still says, wonderful people, great place.
Well, that was a fun night seeing Shota pitch. Also, I ate a hot dog this week. I ate a hot dog at the ballpark and lived to tell about it, Bruce.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had a garden dog there this week. It was great.
You know what? If you want to listen to all that we had to say, you want to listen to the Cubs game, you want to listen to anything, Mullinghall, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkinson Spiegel, everything here at The Score. Do it with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today. Search 670 The Score. Take us wherever you may go. Bruce, we have to go out of here. We're done. Thanks for setting everything up today.
Steve Rosenblum is next.
Thank you to our guests. We had Steve Stone. We had Hayden Wesneski. Thank you, Tyler Farengol. And thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, David. People can follow me on Twitter, MLB Bruce Levine, on our website, where I write Sox and Cubs all week long, 670thescore.com. David, have a fun week.
I'll talk to you Monday on Mullinghall. Have a happy Mother's Day. All the moms out there, be kind to your mothers. Thank you for listening to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I've been covering prospects for 36 years, and the three guys who are the best pitching prospects during that time are Paul Skenes, Steven Strasburg, and Mark Pryor. And it's hard to separate. Just the combination of just overpowering stuff, multiple pitches, but polish as well. You know, these guys weren't just reaching back and, you know, spraying the ball all over the place.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 Score. That was Jim Callis of MLB Pipeline, friend of the Mullinghall Show, does a terrific job putting into context what we're about to see later today, Bruce. Justin Steele on the mound for the Cubs. 2:30 pregame right here on The Score. And Paul Skenes, who has had all of 34 innings of minor league preparation, makes his major league debut. The number one overall pick from in 2023. The Pirates fast-tracked him through the minors. And we see all that he has to offer today. Kind of exciting. It's a good day for baseball.
Yeah.
Might be a tough day for Cub hitters, but just get through seven. Let the kid go seven shutout, fine, but get to the bullpen and win 2-1.
That's it. That's what I was going to say. Hey, let him go out there and be a great pitcher in Major League Baseball. And, you know, we all love those good stories and great arms like this. Wish him nothing but luck. But, you know, against the home team, you know, let him lose that ball game somehow late. And, you know, Pittsburgh can do that. I just think that I worry about pitchers like Skenes. I worry about all the guys coming up to throw 100-plus miles an hour because, David, you have to show me the pitcher in Major League Baseball history outside of maybe Nolan Ryan. You know, I just missed Walter Johnson back in his day.
Just missed
him. Show me the guy that continues to compete throwing 100 miles an hour as a starting
pitcher.
It's
tough. It's really tough to find examples. Justin Verlander has lasted a long time as a power pitcher.
But the difference in Verlander, David, was that at the beginning of the game for the first five or six innings, mm-hmm. he would pitch. He would pitch. He'd throw all his pitches, his fastball. He would depend on his two-seamer more. He would throw 93, 94. Then he'd break out 6th, 7th, 8th inning. You heard what I just said. 6th, 7th, 8th inning.
Yeah, what are those starting pitchers?
Right. You know, Chris Sale was another one. 6th, 7th, 8th inning, they'd break out 97, 98.
How many surgeries has he had?
Right. But, I mean, that's the idea that These guys, it's so exciting. It's so much fun to watch. Velo is everything that we talk about in sports in baseball now. How hard the ball is hit out of the park. What miles per hour it was pitched, what was hit out. Sustainability is the thing that I like. And sustaining 100 miles an hour as a pitcher.
It's tough. It's tough.
It's just not. It's not.
Well, last night's starter, the Pirates, the 1-2 punch that they expect to lean on to bring them back to respectability, Jared Jones, he preceded Paul Skeens in the rotation, and he threw a 100-mile-per-hour fastball down the middle, and Cody Bellinger deposited it in the bleachers.
Sure.
So you can catch up with velocity, but you have to be the caliber of hitter that Cody Bellinger is to do that. Skeens is going to hit 100, maybe on his first pitch today.
Right.
104 of the fastest, 105 pitches in minor league baseball this year have come out of his arm. He's going to come at you. He's going to attack, and he's going to be Strasburg-like.
He's got the other pitches, so that's what
he's got five pitches.
You know, guys like Jim Callis, who I trust a lot on all of his evaluations. You know, when he says he's seen him a lot and he can pitch, then he's got a chance, but. You can't continue. You cannot continue to pitch at 100, throw 100 pitches a game, and do that for 30 starts for a long period of time. I'm sorry, your arm. How much does an arm weigh? 8 pounds, 10 pounds, something like that.
How much do you lift, Bruce?
So, well, me, like how, three, what are your, 3 pounds?
What's your bicep density?
Okay, my bicep
depends on the arm, but I get your point. Yeah,
11 inches all the way around. Look. The arm is moving against the rest of the body. Mm-hmm. It's competing with the rest of the body. The pitchers, the players are stronger, better trained, better fed, everything except the arm cannot keep up with the rest of the body. It's pretty simple to watch all these arm injuries and everybody throws up their hands in the air and go, "Hey, he's greatly trained. He can throw the ball 100 miles an hour.
He's going to be the exception.
And they're not.
But the rule is these kids, young kids, are probably going to pay the price for throwing so hard so young.
It's a baseball problem. Baseball problem is, do you teach guys to pitch like the pitchers on the Cubs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who on the Cubs right now in the rotation throws 98, 99 miles an hour?
Ben Brown?
He's not in the rotation.
But he's not in the rotation. Right. You're right. It's a point well taken. And look at the guy who has been the best pitcher in baseball, Mr. 92-mile-per-hour splitter, Shota Imanaga.
Rising fastball that they can't catch up with at 91 or 92.
Because of location, because of craftiness, because he's a pitcher as much as he is a thrower.
You just said it. He's a pitcher. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Cubs have a bunch of pitchers on their team right now. It's a pleasure to watch. Everybody wants Velo. The Cubs would like Velo in their rotation too, but for me, I want sustainability. Guys that are going to go out there 30 times, be 14-12 with a 3.2 ERA. To me, that's if you got three or four of those guys, you're going to the playoffs. You're going to have a chance to win the World Series.
Speaking of Shota, I have to just say, the other night at the ballpark Tuesday, I was there as a fan, and that was so much fun. We had seats behind the dugout. You saw Shota coming off the mound. Animated, he got into it, he fed off the crowd, he was dealing, and I can't say that I have had that much fun at the ballpark as a fan in a very long time.
So he wrote a book, and I went up to him and his translator. I talked to them during the week, and I said, "How do I get that book?" And he goes, "Well, I can probably get you one." I said, "What about translated?" He said, "Whole other story, you know."
You got a lot of work to do, Bruce. Right. You got to learn Japanese.
I said,
in about
"How about
a week.
Can you do a book on tape?" He goes, "Yeah, but it'll be in Japanese."
What's the difference?
Yeah. He said, "Well, can I get it? Can you get it translated?" I said, "Because this book is, there's so much Greg Maddux in Imanaga that I want to be able to talk to him
comp.
And find out, you know, what his theory of pitching is, what it's all about." He's such an engaging individual. When he talks to you, when he talks to you through the interpreter, but talks directly to you, this is one really smart guy.
He's not only been the best pitcher, he's been the best bargain.
When I went to talk to Yu Darvish this week, old friend, you know, before the game, I did a pregame hit on the Cubs pregame about him. I said, you and Imanaga, you both impressed me as two of the smartest pitchers I've met. He goes, Imanaga, so much smarter than I am.
Hmm.
One of the smartest baseball minds I've ever met.
That's, and you see the way he pitches and approaches hitters, and you see the success rate. That makes that easier to believe. I was also surprised to hear that Darvish recommended both Suzuki and Imanaga, or the, recommended the Cubs to them and spoke very highly.
Chicago, Wrigley Field,
right.
Cubs organization. He still talks about it, even though he was traded, you know, at the height of his level. He still says, wonderful people, great place.
Well, that was a fun night seeing Shota pitch. Also, I ate a hot dog this week. I ate a hot dog at the ballpark and lived to tell about it, Bruce.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had a garden dog there this week. It was great.
You know what? If you want to listen to all that we had to say, you want to listen to the Cubs game, you want to listen to anything, Mullinghaw, Bernstein and Holmes, Parkinson and Spiegel, everything here at The Score. Do it with the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app today. Search 670 The Score. Take us wherever you may go. Bruce, we have to go out of here. We're done. Thanks for setting everything up today.
Steve Rosenblum is next.
Thank you to our guests. We had Steve Stone. We had Hayden Wesneski. Thank you, Tyler Farengold. And thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, David. People can follow me on Twitter, MLB Bruce Levine, on our website, where I write Sox and Cubs all week long, 670thescore.com. David, have a fun week.
I'll talk to you Monday on Mullinghaw. Have a happy Mother's Day, all the moms out there. Be kind to your mothers. Thank you for listening to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.